welcome to Mother's Day at Liberty Vineyard Church, and we'll open with prayer. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Thank you for mothers. Thank you for Mother's Day. Thank you for all the ways that you shower love and affection to us and through us. And we ask that you would be with us today as we consider your word and lessons that you might teach us from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, on Mother's Day, some of us have mothers with us and some have mothers that are not with us. And if you're sitting near a mother today, even if she's not your mother, greet her and say Happy Mother's Day. So just take a moment and do that. Now, all of us here are not mothers, but all of us have had a mother, or we wouldn't be here. All right. Now, Mother's Day is a day of many, many emotions because there are mothers who've lost children. There are mothers who've lost mothers. There's mothers who wanted to be mothers and couldn't be physical mothers, but they're adoptive mothers. Or there's adoptive mothers who added to their family. There's all kinds of mothers, spiritual mothers, different kinds of mothers. There are good mothers and not so good mothers, mothers who've hurt their children, mothers who've done wrong, and mothers who need to be forgiven and ask forgiveness. But in the midst of all these different kinds of mothers, we're going to go to the scriptures today and look at a mother that we're going to ponder. And we're going to call this sermon Pondering Mary because we're going to ponder Mary, the mother of Jesus, who also pondered. And we'll see in the Gospel of Luke a couple of places that it says she pondered and then another place where it says she treasured. But those are things that we want to see from the Gospel of Luke today. And on our way to the Gospel of Luke, which is the third gospel, I want you to know that in the Gospels, we hear Mary's voice in only two of them. We hear Mary's voice in Luke, and we hear Mary's voice in John. But we see Mary in Matthew. We see Mary in Mark. We see Mary in Luke. We see Mary in John, and we also see her in the book of Acts. So let's turn in our Bibles or on our devices to chapter 2 of the Gospel of Luke. This is after Jesus is born, and the shepherds have been out in the fields watching their flocks by night. The angel comes and tells them good news. And they go and find Mary and the baby. And they tell Mary and the baby and Joseph. They tell what the angels have said. Our key verse is Luke 2:19. Luke 2:19. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. Okay, so that's our key verse, and there are going to be different times that Mary treasures and ponders in this message today. But just think about the times that we have treasured things our children have said or treasured things in our hearts that the Lord has said to us. You know, we can ponder things in prayer. We can treasure things. But this is a woman, Mary, a young woman who treasures and ponders in her heart. So in Luke, then, we're going to go back to when the angel first comes to Mary in Luke chapter 1. She's in Nazareth, and the angel Gabriel's going to come to her, okay? So let's go to chapter 1 of Luke, and we're going to look at verse 26. Everybody there? Okay. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. In another version, it says she was trying to discern what kind of greeting this was, that she was favored, that the Lord had chosen her, that she was a favored one. And this word in Luke 1 of pondered is defined by consider, dispute, muse, reason, think, deliberate, and it's dialogizomahi, right? Like dialogue inside herself. She was dialoguing inside herself, trying to reason what this was. And then the angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." How many times had she prayed for the Messiah? How many times had there been words that Messiah was coming? And here she's receiving this news that this son would reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there would be no end. And then she said to the angel, "How can this be since I'm a virgin?" She says of herself, I don't know how this can be. I'm a virgin. And the angel has an answer. The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God." Stop, wait. The Son of God. This child will be the promised Messiah from the throne of David. The Lord God is fulfilling his promise. This is the child. The son, the Messiah whose kingdom wouldn't end. He's going to reign over the house of Jacob forever, the promised Son of God. And then, "Do not be afraid. You have found favor." You know, Isaiah tells us in chapter 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Then Isaiah 9:6 says, "For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Everlasting God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of peace, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this." Well, Mary grew up in a family that probably taught her scripture, probably taught her these things, probably told her that a Messiah was coming. And maybe the girls of her day prayed, "Oh Lord, let it be me. Oh Lord, let it be me." They knew that a son had to be born, a Messiah had to come. Now, there's another sign the angel told her in verse 36. "And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." Here is something to ponder. Nothing will be impossible with God. We can take that to our prayer closets. We can believe God to do what God promised, even if it looks impossible. Nothing will be impossible with God. Now, in this culture, a woman was, her greatest achievement was to give birth, and to give birth to a son, preferably. And then she was supposed to raise a child who believed and trusted God. She was supposed to raise a child who respected tradition. She was supposed to raise a child who would live a morally upright life. And then we hear that Elizabeth is pregnant and she's going to have this opportunity to raise a son. But what about Mary? Mary has willingness in her heart to hear and believe the good news the angel had delivered to her. And so what does Mary say? "Here I am," or "Here am I, the servant of the Lord." Here I am, the servant of the Lord. "Let it be with me according to your word, or let it be unto me according to your word. Not just let it be, not just let it be like the Beatles song, Mother Mary comes to me speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Not like that. Let it be unto me. Not let it go like Frozen. Not let it be like que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. No, she chose. Let it be unto me according to thy word. And we know in 2 Chronicles 16:9 that the eyes of the Lord go to and fro, seeking those whose heart is right, seeking those that God will take care of, seeking those and seeking to strengthen those whose heart is true to him. And so here is the Lord seeking, searching, finding, selecting Mary. And God is still looking for mothers, for persons who will say, here I am, let it be done unto me according to your word. There were no ways to get out of this. You can't be a little bit pregnant. There's no abortion clinics. She can't just change her mind. When a woman's pregnant, she's pregnant. The child grows and the mother's body changes, and it indicates that life is growing inside. And this being pregnant before marriage was a sign of shame in that culture. It was a shame. And Joseph didn't even believe her when she first told him. He had to see it in a dream. But Mary had a willingness to bear reproach and shame. Mark Lowry wrote a song, Mary, Did You Know? You may know it. Some of the words are, did you know that your baby boy would someday walk on water? Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you. And it goes on. You may want to look it up, but Mark Lowry wrote a beautiful song about this baby boy being the Lord of all creation. And when you kissed your baby, you kissed the face of God. The child, the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. Mm. She was willing to be pregnant with the word. Be it done unto me according to your word. And then she goes to see Elizabeth. She goes to see Elizabeth, and we're still in Luke 1. We're going to verse 39. At this time, after the angel left, after she had willingly submitted to the Lord, the angel departs, and it says in verse 39, at this time Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. Now, when Elizabeth heard Mary... Do you remember what happened? Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, and the baby leaped in her womb. Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, leaped inside of Elizabeth's womb. And Elizabeth declares, she cries out with a loud voice and says to Mary, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? So Elizabeth is saying, Mary, you are carrying the mother of my Lord. You are carrying the mother of my Lord. Elizabeth recognizes it. And then she says, for behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So Elizabeth greets her and blesses her. Now, the reason I said Mary must have known the scriptures, must have been taught, is what happens next. Mary offers a song of praise, and it's full of psalms and scriptures and things from the Old Testament. So this is Mary's song of praise. My soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He's done mighty deeds with his arm. He scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their heart. He's brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He's given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. How would she know that if she hadn't studied, if she hadn't heard? This was an oral culture. They told stories. They told scriptures. They memorized. Now, this is where we're going to pause in Luke for just a minute and go to Matthew. So if you flip over to chapter 1 of Matthew, we're going to see the gospel infancy story in Matthew 1, but Mary doesn't have a voice. It's mostly about Joseph in Matthew. First time we see her name is in verse 16. Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom Jesus was born, who is called the Messiah. So there we go. First time in Matthew that she's mentioned. But then we read about what happened and Joseph having to be told in a dream. Verse 18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. So there was about a year between the time of an engagement and the time of a marriage. And during this year, she's found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Okay, so that's where Joseph had to obey. He had to obey, and he had a choice, but instead of putting Mary away, he took her and kept her with him. And then we see the visit of the Magi. The Magi come with the gifts from afar, and they bring gold, frankincense, and myrrh, right? And then Herod wants the Magi to come back and tell him about where they found the baby, and the Magi take another road home. And then we have the flight to Egypt, where there's another dream. And Joseph's told in a dream, take Mary and go to Egypt. Okay, so verse 13 of chapter 1 of Matthew. Now when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. So Joseph obeyed again. Joseph got up and took the child and his mother while it was still night and left for Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. So in Matthew, you've got a lot of the prophecies of the Old Testament fulfilled. You see, this was done to fulfill this prophecy. This was done to fulfill this prophecy. And then after Herod dies, then they go back and verse 23, they came and lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. He shall be called a Nazarene. Okay, now we're going to go back to Luke 2 because we just had to pause a minute in Matthew so that you could see that there was another window on this account. And we're going to go to the place where Mary and Joseph take Jesus to Simeon and Anna. And this may have happened before the flight to Egypt, but we're going to read it here, starting in Luke 2:33. And the child's father and mother were being amazed at what was being said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." And Anna, at that moment, she came and began to praise God, to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. And so that's when in verse 39, when they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee to their town of Nazareth. And then see what verse 40 says? The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. So what happens when a child grows? What does it mean that the child grew and became strong? Jesus wasn't born Superman. He wasn't born like with everything he needed. He was a baby. He had to nurse at his mother's breast. He had to learn how to eat. He had to learn how to play. He had to learn how to get along with others. He had to learn things. He grew. What happens when children grow? They have to learn how to talk. Mary had to teach him how to talk. You say, mom, right? And so here's Jesus having to learn how to talk. Jesus had to learn. He had to grow and learn, and he became strong. Mary probably washed his clothes and got water for him and washed his feet and gave him a bath, watched him play, taught him about his relatives. What else did she do? Well, she probably taught him scriptures too. She knew the scriptures. She knew lots of things. You can look in the Psalms and see Psalm 22:9. It was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe on my mother's breast. The next verse talks even more about that. And Psalm 71:6, upon you I've leaned from my birth. It was you who took me from my mother's womb. My praise is continually of you. And Psalm 131, I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. My soul is like the weaned child that is with me. Psalm 139:13, for it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. And then there are Proverbs. Proverbs 1:8 is a warning against evil companions. Hear, my child, your father's instruction, and do not reject your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20, my child, keep your father's commandment, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 15:20, a wise child makes a glad father, but the foolish despise their mothers. So here's Mary teaching Jesus Psalms and Proverbs and different prophecies. But Mary could teach Jesus stories. Stories of how the angel came to her. Stories of how the shepherds were abiding in the fields and the shepherds came. Stories of the Magi. Stories of what it was like growing up in hometown. And then little children sometimes say, tell it again, Mom. Tell it again, Dad. And here's Mary telling Jesus stories. I can imagine that. Mary had a front row seat watching Jesus grow up. She had a front row seat watching Elizabeth and the baby John. And she had a special place in teaching Jesus about God and who he was, until one day it changed. One day, they took a trip to Jerusalem. So look at Luke 2:41. Jesus had grown up. He was 12. Now, every year, his parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up as usual for the festival. When the festival was ended and they started to return, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But his parents did not know it. Assuming he was in the group of travelers, they went a day's journey. Then they started to look for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple. Can you imagine missing your child for 3 whole days? You're missing. Jesus is missing. 3 days, he's missing. They've gone a whole day's journey. They have to come back, and he's missing. He's missing. And God trusted Mary with this child, and now he's missing. So she's worried. She's a Jewish mother, and she's worried. And what happens? When they did not find him, verse 45, they returned to Jerusalem to search for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. So some of this was Mary's teaching, and some of this was God teaching Jesus as he was growing. Verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished, and here comes Mary's voice. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you treated us like this? Look, your father and I have been searching for you in great anxiety," or what other version you have. Mary's upset. "Why have you done this to us? We've been searching." And what does Jesus do? Verse 49, he said to them, "Why were you searching for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. So Jesus was obedient to his parents. This was still a time he was under their roof and he was obedient to them. Okay, and what happens next? His mother treasured all these things in her heart. So we've seen Mary pondering the word of the angel. We've seen her pondering the shepherds. Now she's treasuring all these things in her heart. She treasured the greatest treasure. Mary gave her heart, her soul, her mind, her strength, and her body to fulfill God's word to her through the angel. And then note Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in years, in divine and human favor. So after this, we don't see Joseph again in the Gospels. We can look after Jesus grows up and he gets baptized. We're going to see in the book of John, Mary's voice come in again in chapter 2. So you remember the wedding of Cana. And even though Mary is not named Mary in the book of John, she's named his mother. Okay. So she's referred to as the mother of Jesus. So John chapter 2. And then Jesus doesn't even call her mother. He calls her woman. So here we go. John chapter 2. Which wasn't a bad thing. It's just he called her woman. All right, so on the third day, John chapter 2, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." So she knows the problem, and she comes to Jesus and says, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what does that have to do with us? My hour has not yet come." So she doesn't argue with Jesus. She just turns to the servants and says, "Whatever he tells you, do it." That's it. She just tells the servants, "Whatever he tells you, do it." And Jesus tells them to fill up the water pots. And you remember that the best wine came from those water pots when Jesus turned the water into wine. Well, children grow up and leave home. And Mary tried a couple of times to, Mary is recorded three times in the Gospels of trying to see him. And it's probably the same scene, just three different Gospel writers in Matthew 12:46, Mark 3:31, and Luke 8:19, where Jesus opens up the family of God. Because let's look at just Matthew 12 for a minute, 46 and following. While he was still speaking to the crowds, his mother and brothers were standing outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." But to the one who had told him this, Jesus replied, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And then, pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." So that happens in Matthew 12, it happens in Mark 3, and it happens in Luke 8. Jesus opens up the family of God to those who hear the word of God and do it. But then Jesus is rejected at Nazareth. There's two things, two passages, one's in Matthew 13 and one's in Mark 6. We'll read the one from Mark 6. "He left that place and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath day, he began teaching in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, 'Where did this man get all this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon, and are not his sisters here with us?' And they took offense at him. And then Jesus said to them, 'Prophets are not without honor except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house.' And he could do no deed of power there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief." So those were things that happened in his ministry. And then John talks about Mary obliquely as having an illegitimate child when the Jews were accusing Jesus and saying that their father was Abraham. And he, we're in John chapter 8. They say in verse 39, "Abraham is our father." And Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing what Abraham did. But now you're trying to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You're indeed doing what your father does." And they said to him, "We are not illegitimate children." And another verse says, "We were not born of fornication." Another translation says, "We weren't born of fornication." Like they're accusing Jesus of being illegitimate, accusing Jesus of being born of fornication. So he carried that with his hometown reputation. Now, we have pondered Mary, but Jesus is the one that we worship. Jesus is the Son of God, and Jesus came to show us the Father. He said he had to be about his Father's business, and if you'd seen him, you'd seen the Father. Hebrews 1 talks about Jesus as the exact representation of the Father. Jesus honored his mother, but he came to be the way back to his Father through the Holy Spirit. Now let's look at just the scenes at the cross. I have four Gospels with the scenes at the cross in my notes, but we're going to look at John 19 because that's the only one where Mary is named, even though she could have been with the crowd in Matthew and Mark and Luke as well. She's named in John because there's something very special Jesus does in John 19:25-27 when he gives her to the beloved disciple. Okay, so John 19:25-27. "Meanwhile, standing near the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, 'Woman, here is your son.' And he said to the disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home." So Jesus being the firstborn and responsible for his mother. If his father had been alive, he wouldn't have had to do this, but he was responsible. So he made sure she had a place to be. And we can just see from Mary's life that she suffered. You know, when Simeon had said a sword would pierce your heart, she suffered when Jesus was rejected and despised. She suffered when he was falsely accused. She suffered when he was flogged and crucified. And yet she also rejoiced. She was able to sing that beautiful song of praise to God. She rejoiced in Jesus being her Savior and her Lord. And she rejoiced to see him raised from the dead. Mary believed in the resurrection and in Jesus enough to wait with the disciples in the upper room. And the last time we see her is in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Jesus has ascended in verse 9. After he said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in the clothing stood beside them. They also said, "Men of Galilee, why stand looking into the sky? This Jesus, who's been taken up from you into heaven, will come in just the same way as you've watched him go into heaven." And then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which was near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. When they had entered the city, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. That is, and here's the list: Peter and John and James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, Judas the son of James. These, all with one mind, were continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So that's how we see Mary waiting for the promise, waiting for Pentecost, waiting to be filled with power from on high. We can learn a lot about Jesus by pondering Mary. Mary knew Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. And if you want to receive Jesus today, to be born anew, to have the life of Jesus and the company of Jesus, the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus, the love of God in your heart, you can receive Jesus today. You can join us in prayer as we close and invite Jesus into our hearts. And if you're listening online and need prayer, please contact us. For those who are here today, we're here to pray with you. And I know that I had a prophetic word this morning, and there wasn't a real time in worship for that. But the word I had was that there are some mothers who have hurt children and some mothers who have been hurt. And there's some mother wounds here that need to be healed. And so we need to pray and ask God to heal mothers who need to be healed and heal children who have been hurt by mothers. And we can pray for healing today. And if you're listening online and you need prayer for that, you just call us and we'll pray with you. So let's close. Lord, we come to you today. We're so thankful for Mary, the mother of Jesus. We know that some of us have already invited you into our hearts. Some of us have said, "Let it be done unto me according to your word." And we pray, Lord, that you would just be real and personal to us, that what seed you have planted in us would continue to grow and bring forth fruit that will remain, fruit of love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and self-control. Lord, grow your fruit in us. We give you honor and glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.